Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step 3, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step 4, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Busted appliance? This is your sign to upgrade. Shop at Lowe's to get up to 35% off and next day delivery on hundreds of major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 3/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Order by 4 p.m. Available Monday through Saturday. Subject to availability. Fees, exclusions, and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/appliance delivery for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
NBI Studios, this is Truth and Justice, a crowdsourced investigation in real time. I'm Bob Ruff.
Ahoy, friends. Thank you for tuning into Truth and Justice. You are listening to the Friday follow-up for Season 18, Episode 6. This week, we heard Bob's conversation with Stephanie Tensley about her amazing podcast, Everything They Missed. Stephanie's podcast is a deep dive into a wrongful conviction case out of Memphis, Tennessee, and this case will keep your head shaking. Today, the gang is all here with Bob, Janet, and myself, and the three of us are here to discuss all of your listener questions and theories. But before we get into that, do we have any housekeeping?
Just a couple things. One, regarding this, put this in the Facebook post today. But I also just want to let you guys know, as far as, so in season 18, couple things. One, did anybody see the new logo? Did anybody notice the new logo?
I did.
I was pretty excited about the new logo. I like it a lot. Season 18 is...
Hey, listen, nope. I don't like AI. That's a different conversation we can fight about later.
But it did a real pretty logo for one I had to make in 5 minutes. I thought it was really cool. I like the logo. I love the, so the, our title and concept for season 18 is Justice Warriors. And so we're going to have on a lot of interviews, people doing, whether it's people, you know, doing podcasts and making content, or their attorneys or the forensic specialists, whatever we can do, you know, anybody that is just, that I think is just doing good work to help improve the criminal justice system. That's what we're going to have on. They're going to be mostly interviews. And because of that, in the follow-up episode, so I want you guys to be aware whenever we're asking for questions for follow-up, which is every week, you can ask us anything during this season. So, because a lot of times, like this one, like we covered her podcast. We got into the case. We've all listened to it. I know, Zach, have you listened to the whole thing yet?
I Bob roughed it up and I listened to 3 episodes and then episode 10. So I am at least aware of what's happening.
Janet, had you listened to, because you said that you were, so had you already listened to that whole season?
I can't remember. I mean, I definitely had listened to it by the time I listened to your episode in which you had not listened to it. But if I'm honest, right. I can't remember because you talked to her a while ago. Right?
Yeah, it was like 2 weeks ago when I actually recorded the interview.
I think you announced you were going to be talking to her, had not talked to her. I binged that whole season. And then, so yeah, I think when you first brought up her name, that's how I found out about it. But then I listened to the whole thing very quickly. And yeah, so I know it well, I think.
Yeah.
I feel pretty good about it.
So point being, so we've all listened to it now and we've heard it or heard a good portion of it. But as far as like you guys asking us specific questions about her podcast when she's not here, there's just not a lot of, we don't expect to have a lot of questions that. So always for during season 18, consider the follow-ups. This is a chance for us just to kind of chat, hang out, answer any questions you have about that and any other questions that you have about anything. So feel free to, in those follow-up threads, just kind of ask us anything. Also, in regards to season 18, keep the suggestions coming in for people who you want to talk to, because I'm loving it, because there's, as you guys know, I don't, one, just because I'm busy and I just don't do it. I don't listen to or watch much true crime at all. So I never really know what's going on out there in the zeitgeist, what's good. Like Stephanie's pod, I never heard of it before until one of you recommended it. It's amazing. It's one of the best ones I've heard. And I mean, I wasn't just blowing smoke. I mean, it is one of the best podcasts I've heard in a really long time. It was so good. So, you know, I love it when you guys, if you have a suggestion, and a lot of you have done this, but please, you know, DM me through social media or send in emails. If you have anybody that you're like, hey, I would love to hear from this person. And that could be a forensic specialist. It could be an attorney. It could be a podcaster, whatever it is. Keep sending those in, because we are listening. Like the episode we have coming next week is another one from a listener recommended. I'd never heard of it before. Reached out to them and we're bringing them on the show. I love it when we can bring in on podcasts like that, when people are just really doing good work, to use our platform to help promote their work, to, you know, to get them more listeners and get more, you know, ears on the cases that they're covering. So please continue to do that throughout this season as we go. And yeah, and I don't think I have any other housekeeping. I did see somebody just asked in our live chat on YouTube. I'll tell you guys again at the end of the episode, but somebody asked, like, when are we going to hear from Chris? This week, Sunday. That's Chris's episode. So I recorded that a couple weeks ago, but we already had Stephanie's episode recorded. So that came out this week. Chris is coming out this coming Sunday, and then we'll have another season 18 episode after that. With that being said, I feel like I know what you guys think about it, but what were your thoughts of not just the interview with Stephanie, but the podcast, now that you've listened to it or listened to some of it?
So I honestly, the podcast is phenomenal. I actually really enjoyed the interview with Stephanie, your interview with Stephanie, because I like the behind the scenes stuff. I like the reasoning of like how it came up. You know, her podcast is phenomenal. Please go listen. Absolutely worth listening. Put together phenomenally. But I really enjoy the behind the scenes things. I really enjoy you two like chit-chatting about how it came up. Like that stuff fascinates me. Absolutely fascinates me. Like the idea of you guys talking about it, her, you know, the whole, like her husband being part of like the whole Murdaugh case. Like I know she touches on that minimally in the podcast, but in your interview, she talked about it a lot more. That stuff is, I love to hear that. Like I would love to hear more about that, because I think the behind the scenes things are interesting. I think a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing when having generally everybody always asks. So when I reach out to, and I'll tell you, I want to make sure I get the name right. I may not be pronouncing it wrong, but Shiashi and Ash from the We Are Resilient podcast. That's who's going to be our next interview. But it's always, I always like will reach out and be like, hey, you know, one of my listeners mentioned that they wanted to hear from you. I started listening to your show and I'd love to have you come on and promote. And they're always like, well, what's the format? How do we prepare for the interview? And I always something's like, I don't think I'm like an interview. It's just like conversation. I love talking to other people that do this stuff. And so like the questions I'm asking them are just genuinely like the things I want to know about. Like I want to hear about all that behind the scenes stuff and everything.
The other thing that's amazing about this podcast is, and I apologize for saying it like this, but I live my life this way, is like the fake it to make it mentality that she had. And, but what I mean is like, she's like, I didn't know what I was doing, but I saw enough of it that I'm like, I think I can do this. And I've built my life that way with my career and everything. Like, I love that mentality. And the whole idea where she, like, when you talked about it in the podcast, where you're like, so what? So there was just a batch drop. She's like, yeah. She's like, it was too good. And I didn't want to, like, just sit on it for weeks, which is not how you're supposed to produce a podcast. That's not how you're supposed to put content out. But she's like, I want my fans to have this. If I was taking in the content, I want it all at once. So why not give it to my fans all at once? And I just loved her attitude like that, because that's something you don't see. Because she is an independent content creator, she doesn't have rules to follow. And that stuff is amazing to me.
Yeah. And there's just less and less truly independent content creators out there anymore. They're kind of the bigger networks are kind of taking over the industry. So I love it. I didn't know that. I didn't know why she did it that way. But I love when she's like, I don't know, I had them done. Listeners wanted them and I don't have a contract that says I can't. So fuck it. Here you go.
I love it. I love it. Yeah.
What do you think, Janet?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think one of the things that was interesting to me about Stephanie's story was I feel like, and again, I'm going to express this and say I don't feel this way. And I have absolutely no idea if anyone actually did feel this way. But I can see a scenario in which, you know, somebody who has been trying to tell a story or interested in telling a story, or who has worked hard at being a journalist for a very long time in an increasingly shrinking and very challenging work environment, like to even do journalism at all, kind of resenting how open she was about just being like, guys, I didn't know. Like, I just wanted to do something and I got very lucky. Or, you know, she's as she said in the podcast, she feels like things happen for a reason. She listened when she heard that, you know, this friend of her kids was talking about their father and, you know, what he does for a living and stuff. But I feel like the kind of aw shucks could make someone else who is envious of that, like, rub them the wrong way, maybe. Or maybe if she were a different kind of person, maybe they would take that wrong and be like, how dare you? You didn't know what you're doing and you just faked it till you made it. But I appreciate the humility of that so much, of her being like, guys, I didn't know. I just wanted to make something good. And, you know, I was exposed to this whole world. It just was sort of set right in front of me. And I had already been a fan of this type of storytelling. And, you know, as she's sort of talking about it and also on the podcast, because she mentioned some things on the podcast proper that she didn't talk about in the interview with you, she was like, I'm going to need a writer. I can't do this myself. And then she had to be kind of talked into like, no, actually, you're a good writer. You can do this. And she went to a speech coach and like presented herself to that person and was like, is there even a chance I can do a podcast or should I just give up? And the speech person was like, you have a very nice natural voice. There's not much we have to do. And she was like, okay. But like she did pay it. Like you have to, it sounds very like, I don't know, fake it till you make it. But then when you really break down what she did, and she had the means to do this and that. And she, I think she understands that she had like the means to be able to, you know, she wasn't working two jobs and coming home to six kids. And, you know, that's a different kind of story, but that she had the time and the financial resources to be able to sit and watch the process of people interviewing her husband and being at the house. Like she could have effed off and gone and done a crossword puzzle in another room, but she showed up to put that time in to sort of self-apprentice. And I think that's kind of the interesting balance is like, it sounds like it's kind of aw shucks, and it is to a degree, Zach, to your point. But I think anybody who really fakes it till they make it, but do this good of a job, you were actually doing research the whole time, even if it was just for you because you were interested in something. You know what I'm saying?
And I didn't want to be like disparaging when I said that because it's not really the way I felt about it. But that's just the way that, because again, in my personal life, I've tattooed for 20 plus years and I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I feel very proficient now, but it's a lot of that. And I love seeing people like that. So I don't take it as a bad thing. And I wasn't trying to be disparaging, but
that's how I felt and I loved it. Yeah.
I just loved it. I wasn't saying that.
I definitely didn't take it that way for you. I was saying like someone could, I could imagine a listener interpreting not what you're saying, but literally what she talks about on the podcast about her and being like, must be nice to da da da, you know, but at the same time, like she's very resourceful and she did not go half steps. She went all in, you know what I mean? And then the way that the podcast evolves, and I don't want to give, you know, too much more away than what you guys already talked about, although you did cover a lot of juicy details, that this thing that happens isn't, I mean, yes, we see this happen in podcasting a lot, I think, and in true crime. Like you start a thing and you don't know that it is going to inspire or prompt or scare someone else into taking their own action. And then their action entirely changes what your final product looks like. Like she could never have known that this man's son would come into the situation and do what he did. She had no way of knowing that. But just the fact that she put her toe in the water and like word got out that this was happening kind of prompted him to show up in his way. And then it totally changed. Like she says it in the pie. She's like, and then I got a phone call that just completely changed the whole course of the podcast, and you're like, we'll see. And then that starts happening, you're like, oh yeah, no, that was 100% true. Like it totally changed everything.
And you know, I love all that, you know, because I mean, her stories is an accelerated version of mine too, that whole fake it till you make it thing. I mean, like when I went into this, I was a fireman. I had no background in any of this, you know, having to learn how to even talk, you know, how the equipment worked, how to talk into a microphone and learn. And then you evolve, like I seen there was some comments in the chat about how you know, maybe she didn't treat some of the victims or talk about some of the victims and or the people involved in a certain way and talked about like a story. Like, I get it. Like, it's new. It's a learning curve when you don't have, you know, if I go back and listen to my season one episodes compared to my season 17 episodes, you know, there's a big evolution there. It's a learning. So I love the idea of, and I get the, and I've had conversations. There are very good ethical journalists out there. But there are also, I feel like it's almost like the same thing with cops, right? There are some really good ones out there, but there are a lot of bad ones out there too. And they kind of, I think they, you know, they put a bad name on an entire profession because there's so many bad ones. I've kind of felt that way about, you know, and I teach journalism and I try to, you know, I'm trying to teach a new generation of ethical journalists. But, you know, and by doing that, you know, we analyze a lot of the journalism that's out there. And it, kind of my one response to that is like the people, not all. Like I said, there are so many good. Your partner is one of them. That's a fantastic journalist. But the people that have all the training and the education are out spinning narratives to their likeness. They're completely biased. There's so much of that out there that, you know, I guess it's kind of the type of person I am. It's like, well, if you're not going to do it right, and if somebody else is going to step in and say, well, I'm going to do my best to do it right, that's what happens. And also, I'm always fighting for the independent, and this is, I guess we're getting, I guess it's on topic, but it's kind of off topic, but it's just one of those, like I mentioned earlier, that there's so few independent creators in the world. Like, I loved when the podcasting space really took off, you know, it started in, you know, 2006, 2009, but by about 2015, when I came in, it was really turning into where, you know, independent creators can say, you know what, I'm going to make something. I don't have the resources or know the right people to get connected with these big studios. And I've never been able to put anything out there, but now I can just buy a microphone on Amazon and put something out. And if it's good, people will listen to it. And if it's not, they won't. And I just loved like look at the explosion of like real work, is particularly in true crime, real work that has gotten done in the true crime space with wrongful convictions, you know, long-time missing persons cases, unsolved cases that have been solved and corrected from people who have no training in doing in creating media like this for a living. And I love that. And I hate that what I see now where, and it is, I've talked about this before, Mike Bussing, our old producer, he warned about this years ago. Mike's always worried about everything. And he's like, Bob, there's no way it'll go on like this. I can still remember in our little shed studio up in Bridgman, him saying it can't go on like this. He said, as soon as, you know, these big, you know, your Amazon and Spotify and all of them, they're going to recognize the value here and they're going to take over this industry. And like now, like and this is how the sausage is made, kind of behind the scenes thing, but we're kind of like living in it now. The independent creators are just fighting for our lives to stay alive with, you know, because all the big podcasts out there that have a million listeners, or a lot of them, you know, have Spotify behind them spending $100,000 a year on marketing that we just can't, that people can't compete with. So I love it when somebody says, you know what, I'm going to try it myself. I'm going to put it out there. I don't have, you know, there's no rules binding me, and I'm going to do my thing. And if it's good, then people listen to it. And in her, like, she made a difference in the case.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you, and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money.
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that one in four honest, hardworking, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
That's my soapbox for today.
Accepted.
Well, you know,
accepted.
I have so many troubles with this topic that you're talking about. And this is way, I know we're going to spin off in the weeds here, but like the idea that people are not listening to the actual work anymore. They're more worried about what somebody is saying and not, or how they're saying it and not what they're saying. And it's really troublesome. You know, like this podcast, maybe she didn't use the right terms for it. Maybe it didn't come across right. But she's putting in amazing work. Like, look at the heart. Look at what she's doing. That needs to be the key. And I think too many people get wrapped up in things that they're not seeing the true value of what somebody's doing or the true heart behind something. You know, like, you forget that this is a person. Stephanie's a person that's put a lot of work, a lot of love into this case, trying to, you know, find out the truth. And maybe she didn't say everything correctly. But she's worked her ass off to get there and to provide the truth in the best way possible. And too many people like want to look past that because she didn't say something correctly. You know, we had a lot of that. You and I had a lot of that kind of before Janet came on there. There was times that I got in trouble for saying something that it didn't matter because, but we are fighting the good fight and people can't get past words sometimes. And it's so frustrating.
Yeah.
And that's Exobox.
Yeah. What will I talk about that I don't? No, I mean, I hear you. And I think this, I think in a perfect world, we are showing up for each other and we are helping to bring, like, if there's something that, you know, a lot of the times stuff that I learn about almost all of the time, I would say stuff that I'm like, oh, I'm behind the eight ball on this term, I didn't know what the origin was, and someone had to tell me. And that's how it kind of is for everyone. But once you've been told, you can go one of two ways. You can jump down the throat of somebody who isn't there yet and like shame them for it, or you can have grace and say, like, hey, like, I also didn't know this, but like, you know, I mean, I think we've said it, we've done this a bunch on the podcast, and I think that's. I think part of what you're talking about, Zach, is like, yeah, it's real big picture stuff. It's real, like, why are we beating each other up verbally? Why do certain sections of the country hate other sections of the country? Like, how do we find common ground? All of that kind of stuff is like, what can we afford in terms of like grace? Like, how much compassion or grace or like hope can we have in people that we don't know or don't necessarily always agree with? And I'll just say too, and I know you weren't specifically calling out the person in the chat who is mentioning some of the, you know, overall, this person says, I love the podcast in our chat, but also like, you know, I ruffled a little bit at some of the stuff in earlier episodes in terms of the way she was sort of describing, you know, the thrillingness of telling, you know, a good true crime story. And I think, again, I think there's an honesty in that that I guess I appreciated, because I also feel like I would rather have someone say out loud, like, I find true crime very entertaining and it's something that I follow or have been interested in, and I wanted to tell a really good story. I would rather have that person do that and then say, and by the way, I wasn't interested in a wrongful conviction story. That seemed really hard. Mm-hmm. And then once she sunk in, she was like, oh shit, this is this affects so many people, not just, you know, the storyteller, just the storytelling, the people who are listening to it, but like, I can actually make a change. And that I feel like she really got a thirst for that now. She's like, oh my God, there's people. And like, you know, there's a really poignant piece from Amanda on the Facebook page that says, this has stuck out to me the past couple of years, which I know goes without saying, but I think sometimes it needs to be said out loud. In these wrongful convictions, not only is it terrible for the one convicted and not true justice for the victims, but the main concerning thing to me is that the real perpetrators are still out there with the potential to victimize others. Therefore, it is a huge risk to the community when the real killers, abusers are not caught. The more wrongful convictions, the more the community is at risk with predators at large. I feel like there should be another explicitly stated goal in bringing to light these wrongful convictions, keeping the community safe. But thanks for all you do. It's amazing. I really enjoy everything they missed. That's from Amanda. But yeah, just back to that point of, once you get into the mindset of, oh, wow, there are always multiple victims in any situation, whether it's, you know, the right person is in prison, but the whole family of the person who was lost is going to be affected forever. The family of the person who did it may or may not have had anything to do with it and may be suffering on their own, like understanding that their loved one committed something, a heinous crime. Like, there are people, it's such a ripple effect. But when you're talking about wrongful convictions, you really see, like, wow, there's so much wrong happening here.
Yeah.
It's just feeding. Well, it's just the poison is just spreading, like it's spreading. You could see it spreading through veins. It's like, this person didn't do it. This person is gone. And then it's just spreading out in such a way that it's like, how do you bring that back? How do you cut that off? Get the poison out. Get the right person in jail. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And to Amanda's point, that actually comes up in as I mentioned, in Sunday's episode, we're going to hear from Chris Bynum. And I noticed when I was talking to him, you know, when I was asking, particularly when I was asking him about people, which you guys will hear on Sunday, he's very short with his responses. And then I talked later with some of the people on his team, and they're like, yeah, it's because he knows that he didn't kill those people, and he knows the person who did kill them is still out there. And so he doesn't want to name the names of anybody or anything or anyone, because like, he knows, like, imagine being the, like, it's something we need to think about, and it should be a goal, and it is a goal. You know, I say all the time, you know, that this is not just like the person that committed this crime is still out there. We need to catch them. And that's a big part of what we're doing. But yeah, for the person who's been wrongfully convicted to know, and they're the only ones that do know with 100% certainty that the person that killed them is still out there, that it I don't know why that little connection had never really occurred to me until in that conversation. Cause I was surprised. I was like, oh, he's going to, you know, I'm going to give Chris the opportunity to talk about all the people in his lives and all those things. And anytime I went down that road, it was real, real short. And that's why.
Mm, yeah. That's chilling.
You know, as you bring up Chris's case, the case on Everything They Missed really kind of reminds me of Chris's case. And it reminds me of Jennifer Jeffley's case, both kind of, and the idea of like, there are multiple perpetrators. We know that the gentleman that has been arrested is wrongfully convicted. But regardless if he's wrongfully convicted or not, we know there's multiple perpetrators, and they just got somebody and they're like, and we're done.
Yeah.
And that's so disheartening on its own. On top of the fact that they got the wrong guy, but the fact that they just like, we got somebody, we're done, bye.
Yeah. And as we talked about that a lot during Jennifer Jeffley's season, because it was like, even if she did what they said she did, what they convicted her of was being the lookout while two other guys went in and murdered this woman. And they never, you know, even if it was true that she did that, they still didn't even make an effort to find the people that did the actual violent murder. Yeah. It's terrifying.
Right. Well, and you guys, I mean, I know you don't know this, Bob, but actually we did have a comment from Juan, who said, I'm listening to the Jennifer Jeffley case again. And Bob suggested to Jennifer's attorney at the time that MVAC testing could be done on the wallet. Do we know if this happened? Also, Detective Allen said he searched for Tim and Ernest and concluded that Jennifer made them up. If this is the case, could the defense have argued that this confession was a lie, just like the previous three statements Jennifer gave, and she keeps making up stories because Eva told her to? Juan, when I read your comment, everything about Jennifer's case started to come rushing back to me and I got sick. It's like I have a different pit in my stomach for each one of these cases. And that activated the Jennifer Jeffley pit in my stomach and was just like, oh, God. And there was so much we could have done and we couldn't do it.
Yeah. I to be honest with you, the answer to your question, Juan, is I don't know. You know, when you get to the end of that season, you'll see I kind of got, I mean, not like forcefully pushed up, but essentially the attorney that was working on the case was like, I got this. I don't want you talking to, I don't want you contacting witnesses because we're going to do that. You know, he told me, I'm going to have her out of, you know, I still remember him telling me, you know, in a conversation we had where he said, yeah, I'm going to have her out of prison by February. And I was like, dude, no, you're not. Yeah. Like, you are not. Like, you got to let us help. Like, you're, this is not going to work the way you think it's going to work. And now here we are years later. And there was, you know, as far as I know, nothing substantial has been done in the case.
I wonder if that's something we could come back to.
It's possible. I mentioned before that I did have Jennifer's mom reach out to me at one point. We were right just smack dab in the middle of working on Chris's case. There was nothing I could do. So it would be worth circling back to see where, but I don't, it's probably going to be because I don't know what ground was covered, you know, what witnesses were burned. Cause that was the, you know, my concern at the time was the attorney that decided to jump in and take the case pro bono wasn't even a criminal defense attorney. Like that wasn't their specialty. I mean, I had my own opinions about because I had at the time I had the Innocence Project of Texas willing to take the case.
Ugh.
And this guy came in and was like, no, I'm going to do it. And made all these promises. And it just, yeah, I mean, they, you know, IPTX got kind of pushed out of it. I got pushed out of it and to no avail, it seems like. So perhaps it is something that
poker. I would say this might be a perfect time to do a little bit of poking around and revisiting since we are in between cases. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, again, it's not Jennifer's fault that all that happened. And, you know, it reminds me too of on Undisclosed, Robbie and Colin just had Susan Simpson mm-hmm. on, and they were talking to her about the current season that they're doing, which is about one person, but really is about possibly very many people who may have all been victim to the same cold case group mm-hmm. up in Michigan. And part of what was so heartbreaking about this last interview when they were talking to Susan Simpson directly about it was that they had looked at this gentleman Scott's case earlier. And I believe I'm remembering this correctly from the interview. I just listened to it. This is not a mystery because it is revealed within the first like 5 minutes of this season of Proof. But the person that they are covering died. He got out of prison, not because he was found innocent, but he was just released and passed away. And what I don't think they had said in a past, like during the course of the podcast so far, is what Susan told to Colin and Rabia, which was that they had talked about it sooner. And that the attorneys at the time were like, absolutely not. We don't want the press involved. Right. You're so close to getting out. You're so close. You don't want to ruin this by having press cover it. Something could go wrong. And then lo and behold, he didn't get out. And he got to a point where he was like, I am sitting inside dying. I have literally nothing to lose. And look what happened. Now they're having to do the work post his death. It's just so hard to know. And I get the lawyers' perspectives. Of course I do. We just talked about it. There's some really bad reporting that goes on out there. There's some people who I'm sure have ruined the chances of a wrongfully convicted person because they irresponsibly reported on it or made shit up or whatever. Like, I get it. You know, it's just so hard
that.
To know.
It doesn't even have to take anything that egregious. And that's, I mean, I have to have, when I take a case that has an attorney, I have to have a lot of long conversation and they have to put a lot of faith in me. Because if you think about, even like Chris's case, you know, I started investigating, I started working leads. The attorneys are doing their thing as well. They're working on their own investigation. as I always describe, I try to make it, it's usually a one-way street. I try to share with them what I'm doing when I have information for them. And then for me, because my goal is to find the person that did this, and the, you know, the storytelling on the podcast is not my primary concern. That is secondary to the actual legal work that's being done. And so they have to trust, any lawyers have to trust that I'm going to, you know, take a back seat when it's time to take a back, you know, because like in Chris's case, there are witnesses that need to be talked to. There are leads that need to be followed, but there also come, you know, there comes a time when it's like, it would be detrimental to the case if I go find this person and interview them and get this thing, and they say the wrong thing, or I do it in the wrong way. You can burn a witness and ruin a case to make a podcast.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it could be like, again, not somebody doing something unethical or anything. It could be as simple as a podcaster saying, oh, well, I found this new lead. And if I tell the attorney, they're not going to let me talk to him. So I'm going to go talk to them first. And then they blow up a witness that could have been used. So it's a very
great point.
You really have to be just the person. So like, I get it from the attorney's perspective. The only attorney that we've ever worked with where I was like, you know, upset about the entire situation was Jennifer Jeffley's attorney. Cause I was like, I knew from Jump Street that this was a bad idea. At least, or I should say, I don't know. I thought from Jump Street, from the first time that I talked to him and talked to the family about it and knew what was going on, I was like, this is not a good idea. You're in Texas. There's a group, it's an amazing group of Texas attorneys that I work well with, that we could do this with, that would be better off. But usually there's definitely been many times where, you know, times you guys would never know about it, because I would never break that confidence. But there's been so many times where there's like, you know, oftentimes you hear a season and it seems like, oh, we're almost there. Why are we stopping? Usually it's because, you know, the attorney is like, okay, we need to take it from here. I'm sorry about your podcast, but we need to take it from here. And also you should know, you know, I have no obligation to, you know, I've never, ever been in an agreement with an attorney that says they can dictate to me what I do. I would never get into that from a journalistic ethics standpoint. I would not do that, especially because they're representing this person. I'm trying to be neutral and unbiased about it. I'm not going to get into bed with these attorneys. But at the same time, there's been many instances where it's like, I think we need to take it here. I'm sorry about your podcast. And it's, you know, I've made the decision throughout my career, you know, and there's times you look at it and you're like, well, what if I just said, fuck them, and just did my thing and just continue to produce, you know, and just really focus on the content of what I'm putting out there and the marketing and all the things that I could do. Would we be a podcast that has millions of listeners and just be huge, hugely successful? But that was, you know, I made a conscious decision a long time ago to say, that's not as important to me as making sure that the work is being done properly and legally with their attorneys. So that, yeah, I mean, I'm rambling on this, but it's another one of my soapboxes where, yeah, it I don't remember. I know we went Jennifer Jeffley, attorneys. I got mad. I don't know what happened.
I blacked out for a second. No, I mean, I think all that makes sense. And I, you know, we all really appreciate that about the way you go about it. And I hear what you're saying.
Hey, everybody, Bob here. I'm interrupting this ad break to tell you how you can never have to hear another ad and take a huge step towards helping us continue our work all at the same time. As most of you know, I provide all investigative and advocacy services to the people and attorneys that we cover on the show completely free. Over the years, we provided hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of professional investigations to the wrongfully convicted, completely free of charge. And the reason that we're able to do that is in large part thanks to the support of listeners like you. Our Patreon community funds the overwhelming majority of our work, and I want to take this opportunity to ask and encourage you to join the club. The base level membership is just $5 a month. Now, while that's only a cup of coffee's worth out of your account, it makes all the difference in the world to us and the people that we work with. And for your $5 a month, you get a whole list of extra content, exclusive just for patrons. Every week, Janet, Zach, and I do an hour-long live stream just for our patrons. You also get an unedited video version of the Friday follow-up every week, a weekly pregame podcast that drops into your podcast feed. Patrons often get to participate in interviews that we do on the show live days or weeks before the rest of the audience gets to hear them. And of course, the best part, all of our content is completely ad-free for our patrons at the $5 a month level. Patreon really is the only way that we're able to keep doing this work. And it would mean the absolute world to me, Zach, Janet, and Erica if you'd consider joining if you're able to do so. Joining the Patreon community is super easy. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice to sign up. Or you can go right to the episode description of this or any episode and just click the link. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your support. And now I'll return you to your regularly scheduled ads.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
We have, so Kelly... I know Kelly had asked about any updates on this particular podcast on everything they missed. So this is why, Kelly, we can't tell you because we don't know. Hopefully we'll get some, you know, I feel confident that Stephanie will act quickly if she gets an update and has permission to release it. I can almost guarantee I'm sure it'll come out on our feed and hopefully we'll all have the opportunity to chat about it in a follow up like this, you know, when that time comes, because I agree, like. There's another tantalizing way that this resolves, which is like, okay, it feels like this is game changing. But for those of us who have stuck it out in innocence work for long enough, far be it for me to say I'm doing a lot of work on it, but showing up here and wanting to be a part of the process in any way I can. We've also seen so many times when someone's been like, oh, yeah, he's going to still rot in prison. We just have added someone else to prison who actually should be there. Like, I've obviously we're all very like on, you know, tenterhooks going like, OK, does this mean that the right person is, you know, the person who should be coming out will come out because of all of these developments? So I'm also waiting very anxiously to find out what happens there.
That's another one of those great things about Stephanie being an independent creator is she doesn't have contractual obligations to where if there's new, because that's a thing, right? It's a thing where it's like, okay, I've got this new information, but my contract says I can't put out new episodes until the new season and with the advertisers, and she doesn't have that. She can be like, hey, I got something. I'm gonna throw it together and here you go. And I fully suspect that that's what would happen.
Yeah, agree. A couple of other things. Laura wants to know if we've heard of any updates for the case in Murder on Songbird Road. That is another one, Laura, that I am like, oh my God, to have all of that information out there. Give me more. Let there be more progress. Let us hear, like, talk about what feels like one of the strongest cases of wrongful conviction we've heard in a while as well. Like, tell us good news, you know? And I don't think, I imagine you don't know anything more than, you know.
No, I haven't heard any updates, but that was one of those ones that was so well put together and investigated. That was what, if you remember, I think I had Bob on early.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, I'm not so sure,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
you weren't
And
convinced.
Then by the end of it, and he kept telling me, he's like, just keep listening. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, there it is.
Yes, yeah, indeed. So. Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully, Laura, we'll all hear something about that, too. I'm dying to know. Matthew says, and I can tell you, Matthew, already, I know exactly what this answer is going to be, but I'm going to read it anyway. Will you reach out to Turtle Boy to talk about the John O'Keefe and Karen Reed case? Did you understand most of what I just said or not?
Well, I caught Turtle Boy. Don't know what that means.
Okay.
I've heard of the Karen Reed case. Don't know much about it. That's a case that just never, when I say it didn't interest me, as far as what I mean by that was such a high profile case that there was so much, everyone was doing content about it,
yes,
where I was just like, I don't need to step into this. Like, there's people better than me that are doing it. So. I don't, you tell, are you, Zach, are you familiar with the case? I know Janet probably is. You know all the cases.
Yeah, I'm very familiar about it. Very, very familiar about it, Matthew. I don't feel like Turtle Boy is necessarily the person that Bob would be able to get or would necessarily even like need or want to get. I could be wrong about
Who's
that.
Who's Turtle Boy?
He's just a guy who is kind of falls into the category of like not necessarily originally a journalist. Has done a lot of stuff that's pissed a lot of people off, but advocated very early on for what he felt was corruption on the police side for this community in Massachusetts and this idea of essentially Karen Reed being set up. And he brought a lot of attention to the case early, and then a lot of other people kind of jumped on. And then a lot of the people that jumped on were like, but you, Turtle Boy, don't deserve to be covering this because you're, in so many words, a piece of shit. So there's a lot of controversy around, I'm not saying I think that he is, I'm saying that is what people sort of characterize him as. But there's also a lot of drama in his own life around that like touches pieces of the case. So he doesn't seem to me to be a likely guest for Truth and Justice, like no matter what. But it's still a very interesting case because Karen Reed was acquitted, but now there's a whole like civil side to it. And then there are all these like side lawsuits. It's a lot of drama coming out of this police family and like long standing. My dad was a cop. His dad was a cop. His dad was a cop. His dad was a cop. We own this town kind of shit. That is very interesting. Yeah. It's a very interesting story.
Well, when you go to this Turtle Boy's wiki page, which I know is Wikipedia and whatever, when there's a legal issues section on the page, that's probably not a great thing.
Yeah, he's I heard got, the word yeah, drama like seven on. Times, and that was already like, yeah. You know me. Like,
yeah, I did not feel very comfortable having dropped the drama
what
word,
is
the D word.
I don't know if anybody asked a question about it in the thread, but a few people have posted about it. Everybody keeps asking me to have either Mata or Colin Miller on about a very recent, what seems like wrongful conviction that happened. And it's a case I've never heard the name before. Apparently it was a big deal that was going on. And I saw Colin tweet that he's like going to volunteer to like go pro bono to join the legal team.
I could be wrong. I actually, because you don't know the name, and I'm sure the chat will know, my first guess was the story that's been going around about, and I know it's on YouTube a lot, and I'm not really, I don't spend a lot of time on YouTube, about the gentleman who is being prosecuted for, he may have already been convicted, I'm not sure, chat, help me out, that his daughter was essentially kidnapped by his underage daughter was essentially kidnapped by another
Faust.
Person.
Yeah, that was the name.
Yeah. And and that I don't know. Am I talking about the right thing? Am I talking about the right thing, chat? That he ended up killing this person. And then like the way he has been treated is not a way that Bob Mata agrees with, for example. But I could be wrong. And I know that there's a delay in our chat. So we could find out in moments that I am talking
well,
about an entirely different case.
It is Faust. I want to say it was like Eric Faust or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Edric?
Huh?
Edric?
Edric. Yeah, that's right. Edric Faust. F-A-U-S-T.
Faust.
Yeah, whatever it is. I mean, Mata's not alone because I said I had some people had messaged about like, can you have somebody on to talk about this case? It's a horrible case. And then I saw on X, I saw Colin Miller tweeted that he was so upset by what happened that he is actually going to work pro bono for his team. So, you know, of course, I trust Colin exclusively when it comes to things like this. At the same time, so as far as a guest, I may reach out to Bob Mata if I learn a little more about it, something we want to talk about. But it wouldn't be because Colin is now, it sounds like, officially like on the legal team, which means he's not going to be talking on a podcast about it. And I wouldn't ask him to.
And looking at the chat, I think I might be talking about a different case that Bob Mata was also very passionate about. So please don't take any of what I just said as gospel. Hopefully I
Sue just said
a disclaimer, did a big disclaimer right at the beginning when I said I wasn't sure. And I continue to not be sure.
So Sue said, well, if this is what happened. And to be honest with you, I love these follow-ups during these seasons because we just get to talk about whatever. It reminds me of the true crime. What did we call our little weekly show we were doing?
I can't remember.
Shit show or something like that?
Probably.
Yeah, because Sue in the chat says she didn't follow the trial, but convicted of sexual assault and murder, but possibly was her actual boyfriend. So this, I think it's a very different case from the one you were talking about.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Definitely sounds like it.
So anyway, that's one that I'll be, you know, I'll look out.
Yeah, I don't know anything about this. I don't know anything about this one. So this is something different. Yeah.
So I'm not alone because everybody was all of a sudden there was a flood of people mentioning it. I'm like, I don't know what this case is. I've never even heard of it. Like, I don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
But we'll look into that. I did want to point out, too, while we're kind of on the top of other cases, there was it wasn't in the follow-up thread, but Constance on our Facebook page says, anyone ever hear of the Darlie Rudier case out of Texas? Curious if it's ever been considered for a deeper dive. Constance, it has. So this was that case came up. It was submitted to me years ago. And I actually, we got pretty close to covering it to the point where I don't remember if I talked to Darlie or I was definitely writing back and forth with her and talking to some of her lawyers. And it just turned, and this is not, I know this is one people have real strong opinions about. I do not have a strong opinion about it. What I can tell you is it didn't meet my smell test far enough to get me to the next step. So like, I mean, and this wasn't one that I just screened, like I spent some time looking into it. And I just, for me, I didn't see enough there to be convinced enough of her innocence to move forward with it. That doesn't mean she's not. I just didn't see it. It was one of those, you know, I always say when I'm doing the screening process where, you know, I always look at the state's case and then I try to like look at, you know, put a microscope on it, start looking at deeper and see if like the holes start falling apart in it. And it was one of those cases where I'm like, the closer I look, the more I think. That's another one. That's another big one is the Dan Holtzclaw. I don't remember how to say his name. He was the cop that was convicted, I think, in Oklahoma. And he's won a lot. As a matter of fact, Dr. Jackson has worked on his case and she's talked to me about it. And that's another one of those cases where a lot of people think they're innocent. Mike actually was really, really into that case and wants to cover it years ago. But the more and more I looked into it, it wasn't that I was convinced he was guilty. It was that I wasn't convinced that he was innocent. So anyway, that's the answer to that one. So yeah, Darlie Rudier comes up a lot. It's just not one I'm comfortable with.
Gotcha. Veronica asked, I get we probably can't hear West Memphis 3 results yet, but can you confirm or deny that the evidence is back from testing?
I have not heard anything that's going to, and I would assume that I would be one of the first to know when it, for a number of reasons. But yeah, I haven't heard that it's come back. It was just frustrating because I feel like we had heard like in October that they were like first of the year. We should, you know, around first of the year, we should have it. Now we're, you know, middle of, you know, end of February and still no results yet. So, yeah, as soon as they're out, we'll let you know. But yeah, I'm not keeping anything from you right now. I don't know anything.
Gotcha. And then for those of you who are listening to this follow up and who were screaming the name of the person I was talking about and still are annoyed that we haven't said it yet, this is right. I'm sure I recognize it right away. Ginny, thank you so much in the chat. Aaron Spencer charged with murdering his daughter's abductor. Again, not a case I know a lot about, but I know that it was something that it seemed like Mata was very passionate about. Kathy says, do you have any advice for a young person wanting to go into private detective work? And do attorneys regularly hire PIs to investigate cases?
I hope so. We'll find out. yeah, it seems so. I would say the best thing you can do as a young person is the same thing. So Erica is doing that right now, is go to school to seek out a criminal justice degree. Look for your state. There, every state has its own requirements to become licensed as a PI. You can't just like take a test. You can't just decide you're going to be one. There's qualifications for it. And so every state's different. Most states generally will say you have to have either like 3 to 5 years of law enforcement experience or 3 to 5 years of investigative experience. So that's one option, which means if you work for a private investigator as like an investigative assistant, then under their license after several years, then you can get your license to do it. And then some, so I was able to get mine based on my years of experience as an investigative journalist. That is a very difficult route to take. It took a lot for me to, you know, I had to have a lot of letters of recommendations and like show a lot of the work that I've done. And then, but almost every state then also has another option, which is if you have a bachelor's degree in criminal justice, then you can get your license. And from when I was talking about in our pregame, for me, I have 3 credit hours left that I should be finishing this week for my degree that I've been jamming out over this last year. And then I just have my capstone class. But I can tell you from like taking the courses, it's worth it. Like you don't want to just go be a PI. Like it's good to go because you learn all of the laws. You learn, you know, what to be looking for. It's enlightened me a lot, and it will reflect in the work I do both on the show and as a PI, because now I know what the legal requirements are for police officers. I know what they should be doing. I know what to look for. So yeah, if you're a young person and you're like, man, I think being a private investigator would be a good route for me, I would say start off by going to school for criminal justice for the background, and that's what it's going to take to get you qualified. As far as attorneys, like, I don't know, I haven't actually pursued, you know, I've been building infrastructure to do PI work over the last several months. I haven't actually like started going to attorneys and saying, hey, I'm a PI and I can do this for you. I can tell you from my years of working with attorneys in particularly innocence work, there are definitely not enough of them out there. You know, that's why usually if an attorney is like, hell yeah, we'll take you on, is because, you know, they can't find a good private investigator out there to do the work they need. Because a lot of them I'm finding make their living doing things like process serving, and which, you know, just like serving papers and skip tracing, like just finding people to serve them papers, or a lot of insurance for, like, there's a lot of money, I think, in that aspect of it. And it's just much easier to do than actually like the type of work we do that I want to be able to do, which is to be able to, you know, where an attorney's like, this person's, you know, here's the police file. Think of every case we look at or that we're doing this work at in post-conviction. How many times we look like, man, if they had a really good investigator before the trial that could track these people down and interviewed and answered these questions beforehand, how it would make a difference and different outcome in the trial. So I think it's, you know, it's essentially the work that I've been doing for the last 11 years just on the podcast. And I just want to be able to, every time I run into one of these hiccups with an attorney where it's like, oh, you got to stop because you can't talk about it on the podcast. But could you find that, you know, because a lot of, I'm still doing work for some of these attorneys, even though you're not hearing about it. And be like, man, imagine if I didn't have those guardrails on, and they're like, I want you to just go fully investigate it and just talk to me about it instead of the general public.
Cool. Well, that is a great answer to that great question. And that is all I have from Facebook and I think the chat as well. So that's maybe us wrapping it up as we get ready for an episode I'm very excited to listen to from next week.
Yep. Yeah, that's it. That concludes our Friday follow-up true crime shit show. And this is, keep this in mind. You hear like we just, you know, this is what I want as the producer of this show for the follow-ups during these seasons, is for us to all just be able to like get together and just talk about all these things that are going on. So again, you know, get your, if you're anything that's on your mind that you'd like us to be talking about, mail, put those questions in the follow-up thread. So we have something to talk about. Yeah. And so you're going to hear this Sunday. Finally, you're going to hear, we're going to meet Chris Bynum. I can tell you that my experience, like being able, cause we did it via Zoom, so I get to see and talk to him. It's he's just such an impressive human being, and his grit and perseverance, just, I don't want to give too much of the interview away, but I've talked to so many people that are in prison, wrongfully convicted. And, you know, there's always kind of the same type of responses and answers you get from them when you ask questions. Chris shocked me multiple times where, you know, I was like, well, tell me, you know, about this. And I'm expecting him to say one thing and he says the exact opposite. It's just, it's super interesting. It's not a super long interview. It's probably 20 minutes long. It's a short one because remember, he has an active case right now. So there was a lot of like areas where we couldn't get into, like I could tell you, he's not going to talk about his case. I don't even ask him about it because I know that right. he's not going to commit on a podcast talking about details of a case when they're about, they're hoping to litigate it. So,
yeah.
So that's coming up on Sunday. And then next week, we're going to hear from the host of the We Are Resilient podcast. And with that being said, that's all we got for this week. We'll talk to you guys in next week's follow-up. We love you all. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Truth and Justice is an NBI Studios production, co-written and produced by Erica Bergenham. Music created and composed by Caden Ladislaw. Follow-up episodes are co-hosted by Janet Varney and Zach Weaver. Our logo font was created by Tate Krupa of Red Swan Graphic Design. Our website is created, managed, and maintained by Katie Ross of createdintandem.com. Thank you to our volunteer transcription team, Erica Cantor, Kathy McElhaney, Courtney Wimberly, Kaywood Yomnick, Danielle Rohr, Jennifer Athey, and Caroline Dwyer. Truth and Justice provides all investigative and advocacy work for the wrongfully convicted completely free of charge. We're able to do that in large part thanks to you, our listeners, through your generous pledges on Patreon. Patreon accounts for the overwhelming majority of our funding. The number one way you can support our work is to become a patron at patreon.com/truthandjustice. For just $5 a month, you'll get all episodes ad-free, a bonus pregame episode every Wednesday, and also a video version of the Friday follow-ups exclusive to our patrons. Patrons also get to participate and join the chat live in many of our interviews and get early access to much of our content. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice to sign up. You can also help us out by going to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. It doesn't cost you a penny and goes a long way towards making the show more visible. If you have a new case that you'd like us to consider, you can submit your cases on our website, truthandjusticepod.com. Just click on the case submission button and fill out the form. You can always keep in touch with us through our email at theories@truthandjusticepod.com. You can like our Facebook page or join in on the conversation on the official Truth and Justice Podcast fans page. You can also connect with us on social media platform X @truthjusticepod. And to follow our personal accounts on social media, I can be found at Bob Ruff Truth. Janet can be found at Janet Varney, and Zach is at Z to the Q. However you do it, stay engaged and stay in touch. But as for now, we're signing off. I'm Bob Ruff.
I'm Zach Weaver.
And I'm Janet Varney.
And this has been Truth and Justice.
Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers.
I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/new.
Medications require eligibility and prescription. Patients on 15 milligrams of tirzepatide had an average of 21% weight loss in a 72-week clinical trial when paired with diet and exercise. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.